guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We are continuing in Romans, and we're looking today at Romans 15, verse 14 to 22. It says this: I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. All right, Ryan, here we are.
Yeah, getting close to the end of Romans.
Getting close. And it sort of feels that way as we read this as well, that Paul's beginning to kind of wrap things up.
Yeah. Yeah, we do get that feeling. There's lots of similar ideas, sentences that we at least remind me of ones we've heard before, like back in chapter 1 about, just why he hasn't come yet and what he's on about in terms of like preaching the gospel because it's God's power for salvation. And then Romans 12, where it was kind of like that, the change in tone where it gets to kind of, okay, well, this is what it means that, you've come to believe the gospel, how God's power is at work in us.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So he's wrapping it up, but there's still stuff here.
There is.
And so let's dig into it.
Yeah, sure. So we do get Paul kind of drawing his thoughts together. And we know that, we've seen before and again, Paul's theology is never disconnected from relationship with God, but particularly relationship with people. And we see that just so intimately woven here. He's talking about some very rich, ideas. But it's always kind of, through him understanding his relationship with the Roman church. So he reminds them again of the outcome that he was after, like why it is that he wrote to them.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because he hadn't met them yet and he wanted to give them the heads up that he's coming to them, but so that God's grace might actually be presently at work in their life. That the Spirit would be continuing to work in them, that they might continue to be made acceptable offerings to God, which we kind of, it's very Romans 12, 1 and 2 language that...
Yeah.
The good news of the gospel, that message of God's loving presence entering into our life through Jesus and his Spirit would actually change us from the inside out.
Yeah.
It's kind of very reminiscent of that.
Mm. Yeah, and that's it. So he proclaims the gospel so that the Gentiles will be transformed into that offering acceptable to God, that they might be able to please God, without the gospel, without that relationship with God, it's impossible to please God. So they're able to do that as they're sanctified, they're made more like Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Mm. And then he goes on and he says pretty much over and over again, this is why I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has done through me. Mm. And then he just says, I have explained, this is crazy. So I have fully proclaim the gospel of Christ, and it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known.
Yeah.
It's a good ambition.
Yeah, it's an amazing ambition.
It's
crazy. We were just reflecting on how amazing would it be for us to be able to say that about just our area.
Hey, yeah.
We have fully proclaimed the gospel here. We've planted churches here where they need to be planted.
Yeah.
And hey, we've got to look somewhere else. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So you can tell that he's beginning to wrap things up a little bit.
Mm.
But what is there? What is the kind of the encouragement or the challenge for us as we read through this particular passage?
I think it really does remind us why Paul wrote the letter of Romans. It wasn't to just outline some amazing convictions about God and who God is, but it's so that who God is would actually change our lives. It's that the problem in our life, our sin, this disconnection and absence of God's loving relationship would actually be resolved by actually being brought back into a loving relationship with God, and how that is brought about in Christ.
Mm.
And that actually really does change us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's amazing studies going on now. One of the longest studies that has been held over in Harvard, it's called the Harvard Grant Longitude Study of Adult Development or something like that.
Right.
Never really been done before. They've got like a couple hundred men who have like kind of over 75 years.
Wow.
They've continued to interview them about what makes a healthy life.
Mm.
Health being like holistic. And they've come to this conclusion that actually the most consistent and most significant factor to that is loving, warm relationships.
Mm.
And love actually, in a very significant way, changes people. And we see that here. This is why Paul is just so committed to preaching the gospel, because only a loving encounter with God can actually resolve the deep problems of our lives.
Mm.
Because that's where it all stems from, our disconnection from Him. Yeah. And Paul is willing to boldly proclaim this. Like, this is no easy thing to do. There are those moments, like when you're in those close relationships with people, and you know you've got to say the hard truth, even though, you know, you love them so much, you don't want to cause them any discomforts. Like, he pushes through that pain line,
yeah,
to say what needs to be said,
yeah,
to share with them, that God's loving presence is actually available to us.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's, you are sinful.
Yeah.
No one is righteous. No one is good. You are not good enough. Mm. All of us lack the glory of God.
Yeah.
But God has loved you. And you said there, he's loved you in Christ, the gospel of Christ. It's in his death and resurrection and ascension. Like, it's this that we see God's love on display.
Yeah.
But it's very real. It's not this, like, it's not just this, I don't know, absent, like, I don't know, mystical idea that God loves you. It's present. It's seen at the cross. It's seen in his resurrection. And as we can experience the gospel of Christ, it's here that we begin to be changed and transformed. And it's just really good to see that.
It's really, it's seen. It's seen in our lives. It's actually, people see that as we actually reflect Jesus in what Paul would say, obedience. It's amazing. Summary of, him just churning his thoughts together. And that's the reason why he says, like, I haven't been able to come to you yet. I've just been so busy doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry I couldn't come to Christmas this year, family. I've just been so busy.
Yeah.
Making sure that everyone around me has heard the gospel. I'll get to you guys once I'm done here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's quite exposing for me. Like, I'm amazed by this, because I'm just often, I think I lack that depth of ambition in ways. Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the things that challenges me out of that, is where you read verse 20, it's always been my ambition, he says, to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, and to go, okay, that was Paul's ambition.
Mm.
Like, what's your ambition? You know, when you think about, where are you going? Where do you want to be? Like, what do you want to do in the next, you know, year, 5 years, 10 years? Where do you want to be at the end of your life? You know, for Paul, it was like, man, my ambition is that Jesus would be preached everywhere else. Mm. He didn't want to build on someone else's foundation. So if he'd go to a new town, there's someone there preaching the gospel, sweet, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's Paul. What's it for you?
Mm.
It's challenging.
It is. It's like the, what would you want written on your gravestone?
Yeah.
There's probably many things from what Paul said that could be, but this would be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when we think about that, you know, what are some ambitions today? You know, as you think about it, as we see people, you know, out there, I don't know, it's relationships, it's workplaces, it's lots of different areas like that. You know, ambition to be great at sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you're right. There's lots of things. I think it really, if I just to capture it in the best way I can, like our ambition, I think in many ways is to resolve the conflict in our hearts. Like we want stuff to satisfy that. And in many ways we go looking for that love in so many other places.
Yeah.
Whether it is our work or what it, work can give us, the money to buy stuff or, you know, for sport, the love and affirmation of a crowd of to achieve something great. Relationships, like, and in a genuine way, genuine loving relationships do impact us. But it's, they don't go deep enough. They can't actually give us an impact of God's love. And that's why we need a personal relationship with God, because that's the thing that's missing.
Yeah. That fully satisfies us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So worldly ambition will actually, you can get what you want, but it's actually going to leave you dissatisfied.
Yeah.
But godly ambition, it starts first and foremost knowing the love of Christ, but then wanting everyone else to know that love as well.
Yeah. It's like you found it. It's like, hey, you've got to know this.
The challenge that we see in this passage is to ask this question: what are you ambitious for? What are you chasing? What do you want to be known for? What's your plan for the next 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, the rest of your life? When you look at Paul, his ambition was to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. That's what it looked like for him to have a godly ambition. I'm so convicted by this and so challenged by this. And so rather than thinking even more on this, just want to ask this question for you: what is your ambition and how can you redeem that ambition so that the gospel of Christ is center to what you're pursuing over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, for the rest of your life?